I've got to put my paper in order. Apologies, I don't have slides for you today. I didn't have the time to do any slides, so do forgive me. So, this is one of my favorite topics. I can completely understand where the centurion is coming from. So what is it? I mean, Anthony has been walking us through what does it mean to be a witness and all that. And today we're looking, I'm looking back for slides. There are no slides. and today we're looking at the authorized witness. Am I right? Good. And we know that everything about being a witness hails and stems from Christ. Me and you, we don't have any authority whatsoever. But this authority has been given to us by Jesus. So we function and walk in this authority. But for this authority to be able to function, you need to know that you have Jesus' authority. You also need to know that because you are saved, you are now inducted, if I can use that word, business terminology, into the family of Christ. And you've become co-heirs with Christ, partners with Christ. That means his mission is now your mission and my mission. And because we live in a realm where, in a world that is corrupted, where, you know, we do know Satan remains the prince of this world, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need Jesus. We need his authority. And let me give you an example before I go into scriptures. The centurion was a man after authority. He was under authority and there were people that were submitted to his authority also. So he understood the power of authority. It just required saying something. Now, in the function I run, I have senior managers that report into me. Beneath that, you have managers, and then I have assistant managers. And part of my responsibility is delegated to all these managers, assistant managers, and all of that. I don't have to constantly tell them, this is delegated to you, you have to do it. At the beginning of every financial year, we sit down and review the entire strategic objective of the business. And then come to the chief risk officer, what is your objective? And that is filtered down. And we work towards that objective with each person having a level of delegated authority on what to do and how to do it. The authority I've delegated to my senior managers, they don't have to come to me. The managers don't have to come and say, oh, Amy, this person said I should do this. They know that structure of authority is in place. So it works together. And that's why with the centurion, he knew who this Jesus was. And in knowing who this Jesus was, he said, you don't have to come in to pray and touch my servant that is ill. For I'm a man under authority, so I understand the way these things work. Just say the word. And that's how it functions in the business world, in government, and anywhere. It's just one person giving an instruction, and that instruction is followed through. That's how you understand authority. So that happened, and Jesus marveled. Jesus was like, wow, you don't need me to do anything. And Jesus said, go, your faith has done it. So the first key thing we need to understand is that the witness, anyone who is a witness for Jesus, has to be what? A believer. And a believer is someone who constantly believes. Even when all hell is breaking through around you, even when there are solid contradictions around you, even when natural reasoning is telling you not to, the believer goes back to the word and says, what has he said to me? That's where the authority is. That's number one. In Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission as we all know it, Jesus actually said to his disciples, he says, I have been given all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He said, so go to the people of all the nations. That is a mighty authority. He has delegated, he has given us the power of attorney. I used to work in a law firm, and I remember writing the policy for power of attorney for anyone that needed somebody else to deal with their accounts. And once that power of attorney has been delegated, or there's an assigned person that the account holder says, this is who I am now giving authority to handle every matter concerning me with you. Nobody questions that, because that authority is straight away put on the account. So if the authorized person now calls in, we have to liaise with that person. That person has every right whatsoever to make decisions for the donor or whoever it is that is the account holder. So Jesus, via the Great Commission, gave me and you that power of attorney to act on his behalf, to be as he was. We see in John, I think it's John 1, where we're told that as he is, so are we in this world. That for me talks about union and partnership. So if I'm meant to understand this authority, I'm meant to know the one who has all authority. I can't function in his authority if I do not know the one who owns and has all authority over the nations. He says, go, all the nation, and make disciples. This authority he has given you, his authority enables you to speak to people about the good news. By the leading of the Holy Spirit, the gospel becomes easier to communicate with the power of the Holy Ghost in me and you. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, these three hold that power. He said, and I hope I can understand my writing here. You know, when you baptize them, he said, to do what? He said, and teach them. Teach them everything I have taught you. You don't have to hold a Bible in somebody's face to teach them. Your communication with them, the way you live your life, you're already a living epistle. People are reading your life. People are reading your actions. Everyone you come in contact with experiences an element of God in you, which is why we have to always learn to be submitted to the Spirit. A bad attitude can mess somebody up, man. A nasty word can mess somebody up. You walk past somebody that might be going through hell and high water, that smile alone can change their world. You might be the only Jesus that someone in your sphere of influence will ever experience. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, go and wait in the upper room. Do nothing. Because this authority, you cannot use it without the Holy Spirit. He said, and when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then you're ready for it. You see, the Holy Spirit is the power of God with us. He's in us. And we need to learn to be obedient to the word. And in being obedient to the word, we know how to use this authority. What did Jesus do? The Bible says Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, by God, went about doing good. So the authority Christ has given me and you is for good. He used it to cast out demons. Demons are oppressive spirits that come to oppress people mentally, emotionally, and physically. Has anybody encountered a demon before? I have. It's horrible. But you just have to stand and keep on telling that thing, get out in the name of Jesus. You have no authority here. When I was in secondary school, there was this particular girl that would manifest every now and again. But when she's manifesting, you hear this deep voice of this male being. It was horrible. And I was in boarding school. Didn't have any mommy to run home to. I had to stay there. So I had to learn that all authority has been given to Jesus, and he has power over everything. Matthew 10, verse 8. Jesus also says there, he says, I have called you. He said, and when Jesus called them, what did he say? He said he gave them power. He spoke to his disciples. The Holy Spirit hadn't come then, but he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he told them in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. For freely have you received, and freely must we all give. That was what Jesus commissioned us to do. So delegated authority, and you know, it's quite powerful when you know who has this authority and what he has given it and when to use it. The Holy Spirit will lead you on how to respond, what to do, what to say, who to call. All of a sudden, somebody comes on your heart. Don't ignore that feeling. Pray or pick up the phone and say, "You've just come to my mind. How are you? Is everything okay?" Jesus has authority over everything that can be named in this world and under the world. So don't be afraid to pray over situations in nations, because he has authority over the nations. But he executes that authority through me and you. So I'm quickly going through my slides now. I don't have slides, but I've got paper here. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is a powerful book. And it's one that I'll recommend each and every one of us to go and read. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. That God raised us up together with him when we believed. That's what happened when you believed. And seated us together with Christ in heavenly places. And then you go to Ephesians 1. It tells you that this place Christ is sat is above what? Principalities and powers. Above every form of dominion, every rule, everything, he sat there. And that's where you're sat. So the witness, the authorized witness, just like the police officer, knows where his authority is coming from. So when he tells you to do something, you stop and comply, true or false. If the police officer wasn't wearing his uniform, will you know he's a police officer? No, you might choose to ignore him. Is it wise to just listen to the signs out there on the roads? If there was no power behind those signs on the roads, would you listen to them? There are people that still don't listen to them and get into trouble. But it is the authority behind those signs that causes us that when we get to a 60 road, something tells you, slow down. You get to a 30, slow down. You can't go any faster than 30. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord does within me and you. When we walk with him, we use that authority to pray over people, to pray over communities, to be there for each other. And when one is down, the other can pick that one up. That authority is what the world needs today. That peace that the nations want comes from Christ. And we are the only ones that can execute that peace by prayer and constantly declaring God's word over the nations and into situations. And there are demonic beings that cause and stir trouble in nations and families. And it's standing on God's word and continue to say, no, you are not permitted here. You legally have no authority here, because all authority has been given to Christ. If all authority has been given to Christ, what authority do devils and demons have? None. So they function by deception and distraction. And if you do not know, then you are giving them your authority to come into your life and manipulate that life. And the day you wake up and say, enough, out, be gone in the name of Jesus. And you stand like a bulldog will stand with a bone in its mouth, refusing to, you dare not go and take that bone off that bulldog. It will devour you. That is faith. So, just rounding up quickly, I wrote a few things. That a witness is first and foremost a believer, and a believer believes. A believer continues to believe no matter what, even when the apostles believed, even when they were killed and murdered, they continued to believe. Hebrews 11 will tell you that. A witness is called, and when God calls you to duty, he equips you, he empowers you. The scripture says in Philippians 3, I think, or 2, it says that it is God who is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It says a witness abides in Christ. You cannot be a witness without abiding. John 15 says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, there is a mingling that has to happen. And when you're in that place of union with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Ghost, you know the perfect will of God concerning a matter, and you can pray into that situation, because the life you receive comes from the vine and not from you. so you can trust that life that is flowing via the vine. And it requires fellowship also. A witness walks in obedience with God's word, must always know the word and be sensitive to the Spirit. You don't use your authority like, what's his name? The sorcerer in the Bible, was it? It was the sorcerer. Yes, who saw the power? Simon the sorcerer. Who saw the power and wanted it? Please, can I buy this from you? Remember, he followed them as a believer. When Philip preached the gospel, Simon said, yay, I'm one of you all. But Simon was walking under deception. And what this authority enables you to do, like Peter recognized it immediately and shut him up and said, you better repent. The power of the Holy Ghost in you enables you to discern from right from wrong, enables you to see past the deception. And a witness is called to be like Christ. As he is, so are you. And that comes from constant fellowship. If you spend time with me over and over again, guess what? We'll start speaking the same language. We'll start, you know, completing each other's statements, like they say. That's what fellowship does. And finally, God is relying on you. God is looking to you so that the death and resurrection of Jesus is not in vain in our lives. It's about time we stopped seeing ourselves as Jackie from England, from Stanford, who's lived here all, you know. That is who you are, but that's not your identity. Your identity hails from God. Your personhood now hails from him because you are now born into him. So everything about our lives as believers is in Christ, stems from Christ, hails from Christ, because it is in him we live and move and we have our very being and our very existence. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you through thoughts, through nudges within. Listen to those little nudges. Pray for this person. That person is in my... Oh, I don't like what's happening in that nation. You heard something on the newspaper that's not good. Pray over it. Don't ignore it. Don't be sucked into the fear. Don't be sucked into the bad news. Pray over it. That's the authority you have. And that's why Jesus said, and I round this my time up, he says, as the Father sent me, so do I send you. So a witness is a sent one. You have been sent to the nations. So just do what he has called you to do with all joy and with all boldness. Amen.